Scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star as it's rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Contrary to what the hymn says, these men were not kings. And the translation of the Greek word magos to wise men is not even really a good one. The word sometimes in some versions of the Bible is just translated as magi. And it is most likely referring here to astrologers, since these men were watching the sky for signs. But the Greek word magos also meant things like sorcerer and wizard. The Bible does not indicate that there were three magi, but we probably get this idea from the three gifts that were given. The men, however many there were, probably traveled in a caravan with a large number of people. Despite what we may have heard over the years about the meaning of the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, here in Scripture there is no indication that there was anything symbolic about these gifts. They were simply precious items, and as such, they were appropriate gifts for who these men thought the child was. And as far as the wise men, kings, or magi being right there in the nativity scene alongside the baby Jesus and the shepherds, well, Matthew writes nothing about the shepherds. The men are clearly visiting the family in their home. And based on what happens right after this in Scripture, this story probably happened 2 years or so after Jesus' birth. I'm pretty sure then the setting, no matter what the creches in our homes may look like, I'm pretty sure the setting by that point was not the manger. We do not even know where the men were from. But if they were astrologers, they were most likely from Babylon, because that was the center of astrological studies. They were from another land, and they were Gentiles. After all, this is the Epiphany story, and Epiphany means the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. These Gentiles, then, these men who studied the sky and had been watching it for signs, they had seen something there, a new star, something that they took to be the sign of the birth of a new ruler. And somehow they connected this with the Jewish hope for a Messiah, the Jewish hope for a star out of Jacob that had been foretold in the Torah. But they aren't sure exactly where to find this newly born ruler, and they find themselves compelled to find this child, compelled to find him and to pay him homage. So they head to where they figured the answers would be about where the star of Jacob was. They head to Jerusalem. This would, of course, be where the people would know where the long-awaited ruler had been born. So imagine their great surprise when the people there in Jerusalem do not know that there has been this birth. In fact, they seem very surprised when the men mention it. But they're not just surprised. They're not just surprised. They are frightened. They are sure, those men, they are sure that they sense that emotion in Herod, the king there in Jerusalem, but they also sense it in the people all around. Shouldn't these people be excited that the long-awaited Messiah has been born? And why didn't they know it already? So Herod brings his experts in, and they peruse their scrolls to come up with an answer about where this child might be, if what these men are saying is true. They come up with an answer: look in Bethlehem. Look in Bethlehem, the scribes and the priests suggest. Herod then calls those men aside privately and said, "When exactly is it that you think this happened? When did you first see this sign? And when you find him, come back and let me know where he is. I too would like to pay him homage." Herod has devious plans in mind, and I can't imagine that those visitors, those wise men, can't sense that. So those men rather quickly, I bet, get out of Jerusalem, and they get on the road to Bethlehem. The star is still leading them. The advice of the scribes and the priests of Jerusalem is also guiding their path, and they do find the child, and they are filled with joy, for their journey and their searching is over. They give gifts fit for a king to this child that the stars have told them will be a king. And then, after meeting the Christ child and his family, they go home a different way. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that after that weird visit to Jerusalem, those men probably never planned to go back there, but they had had a dream, each one of them, that told them not to, just to be sure. Now, this is a familiar story for most of us who are sitting here in church this morning. But as I alluded to at the beginning this morning, it's actually so familiar to us, the story of the wise men, that sometimes when we turn to this scripture in our Bible, we find that it's not exactly the same as we have embedded into our Christmas narratives, the same that we have pictured in our nativity scenes. But the message is the same. The message does not get lost when tradition comes in and our ideas of Christmas pageants come in and kind of turn the timing of things a little off. The message is the same, whether we embellish it with details about how many men there were, or what they're called, or what their gifts mean, or where they came from. The message is this: when the Christ child was born, he was born to more than just the people of Israel. He was born to all of the world. Even if the people in Jerusalem, at the heart of Israel, were unaware of his birth, the world was not. When the Christ child was born, people on the margins took notice. Mary and Joseph, some lowly shepherds, and men watching the skies. People noticed, and their paths were changed. Unexpected journeys were made. Roads home were forgotten, and new trails were taken. When the Christ child was born, the people in power were blind to it, probably because they were content with the world just the way it was. Herod did not know that a new king had been born because he was the king and he was doing just fine, thank you very much. He was doing just fine within the Roman Empire. Herod was frightened when he heard the news from the visitors, because he didn't want to lose his power. But the people in Jerusalem, remember, were frightened too when they heard these men speak about the Messiah. Why is that? The gospel doesn't tell us. And it could just be that they were afraid of what Herod was going to do. I mean, they knew Herod was a pretty unstable person. And if you read just a little bit past this story in the Gospel of Matthew, you will see for yourself that he took very drastic measures to protect his own authority from the threat of an infant king. Perhaps the people of Jerusalem were frightened for another reason. It's a disturbing thought. But perhaps, as Eugene Boring points out in some of his commentary on this passage, perhaps the people of Jerusalem were perfectly fine with God up in heaven, who they could come and worship whenever they felt like it. But they are maybe disturbed with the idea of God here on earth. Maybe they are a little disturbed with the idea that God was coming here and was going to mess around in their day-to-day life. And that thought right there might be the one that hits pretty close to home today. God with us, Emmanuel, can really interfere with our daily lives. God with us, Emmanuel, should interfere with our daily lives. So we can see ourselves in this familiar story if we look. We should see ourselves in this story. We are like these men, looking around and noticing when things are different, compelled to seek answers, driven to find Christ in the world. We are like these men who turn to others who are also seeking answers, who are also looking for Christ. We compare notes with one another. We share wisdom with one another. And we help each other find the way. We are like these men who find the Christ child in the world. Disturbing as that may be from time to time, we find him together and our paths are changed. We are like these men who find that meeting the Christ child puts us on that different road. A road that may not be the most direct route, that most assuredly won't be the most easy, but a road that is going somewhere. A road that is definitely going somewhere worth going. And a road that the one who will be with us always is on. God with us. Emmanuel. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we have our own ideas of the roads that we like to be on. And sometimes you take us right off of them. Lord, we want to be on the road with you. We want to go where you are going, whether it's convenient for us or not. So, Lord, help us this year to stay on that road with you. And while we're on it, to be the people that you are calling us to be day in and day out, people who help bring others along that journey with us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.